We're back on the NSM podcast, brought to you by SingleNashville.com. Don't be alone this spring, SingleNashville.com. Man, today we have a great show. Zach Stacy, he's a legend at Vanderbilt, played running back there for several years. Now he's with the St. Louis Rams. He's a starting running back there in St. Louis for Jeff Fisher. We caught up with him, talked about his career at Vanderbilt and also what he's doing in St. Louis. Here he is, folks, Zach Stacy.
What have you been up to?
I'm actually in Atlanta training, man. Just getting back to, you know, getting into the off season and everything. So, just working hard as usual.
So, what'd you think of your rookie year?
Oh man, it was a long process, man. I tell you, it's a long season. There's no doubt about that. But you know, it was one of those deals where, you know, I took in the experience. It's a blessing to be able to play at that level. But at the same time, I was soaking up as much knowledge as I could. And, it was, like I said, it was a long process, but it was fun. So, got a lot of things I want to work on. A lot of things that I want to get accomplished. It was good to get my feet wet, you know, my first year, obviously. But, just excited about the upcoming season.
I was wondering about something. Did you think your time at Vanderbilt helped you get recognized by Fisher, who spent a lot of time in Nashville before the draft?
You know what, I tell people all the time, I think that has something to do with it. You know, I think, you know, me playing right down the street on West End, you know, from the Titan Stadium, you know, I think he, knew who I was and, you know, knew the type of player I was. So I think that played in part of, you know, me going there. But, you know, Fisher, he's a great coach. He's the ultimate player's coach, you know, always looking out for us. So, you know, just glad to be part of the organization and just glad to be under him as a player.
There's a lot of former Titans there, Cook, Finnegan, Hayes, and they got a guy from MTSU up there too, a lot of local connections.
Oh, absolutely. You know, all those guys are good guys, you know, all the way from Cortland to, you know, Jared Cook, William Hayes. Those guys kind of sort of, you know, took me under their wing, you know, showed me the ropes in terms of the league. But all those guys are, you know, not only good players, but even better people off the field.
Yeah. Well, what's your favorite memory from your time at Vanderbilt?
You know, really just the historic season we had my senior year. You know, that was our year. I think we had like 9-10 wins. I can't remember. But, you know, under the James Franklin era. So, you know, my senior season was just, we accomplished so much as a team. And, you know, we sort of set the foundation, you know, my senior year. So, you know, obviously that program is under new management. So hopefully they can continue to the success that we all had.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you came in, you split time with Warren Norman. How could he have been if he had not gotten hurt?
Oh, man, it's very unfortunate. I mean, you know, Warren, we go way back, obviously, all the way to 09. I mean, we've been roommates, you know, all throughout college. You know, he was my right-hand man. So it was very unfortunate, you know, that his, you know, career was kind of cut short. But, you know, just the type of player he is, man, I tell people all the time, I don't think I would be where I am now, you know, if Warren was still healthy, to tell you the truth, you know. So, I mean, he was just one of those players where, you know, anytime he had the ball in his hands, you know, it was the whole stadium just held their breath because he was able to make plays, you know, whenever he wanted to. So, but we still keep in touch all the time. I mean, we touch base with each other almost every day, so.
Yeah, there's rumbling. He's trying to get healthy for the pro day here, I think, in a few months.
I heard that. I'm not sure. We haven't really talked about it, but, I mean, that'd be awesome. You know, trust me, I'd probably be there watching anyway.
Now, your sophomore year, you got injured. How disappointing was that, you know, to miss the last few games of that season?
Oh, absolutely. I suffered, I think it was a concussion at the end of my sophomore year. So it was one of those deals where, you know, I was able to play, but just from the doctor's standpoint, you know, just more so just tone it down, just sit out the rest of the season. It was definitely disappointing from a standpoint of, you know, I'm prepared. You know, I just want to be able to, you know, help my team win, help, you know, whatever organization I'm in to be successful. But, you know, at the same time, just got to be safe about it. But came along strong my last 2 years, so I think it worked out pretty well.
What did you think when Bobby Johnson abruptly decided to retire?
Oh, man, you know, Bobby Johnson, you know, that's my era. I mean, those were the guys that recruited me, him and his staff. So, you know, I haven't actually talked to him in a minute. So, but just, you know, I think that was the right decision for him. I mean, obviously, it always comes down to, you know, what's best for him, what's best for his family. So, but I heard he's doing well. You know, I heard he's golfing every day, living the life. So, at first, I thought that he was going to be the guy coming back for the job after Franklin left, to tell you the truth. But it was actually a good deal to have a coach.
What was your thoughts on Coach Caldwell? He didn't really get a lot of time to shine, but it seems like the deck was stacked against him.
Oh, man, Coach Caldwell, I mean, he was – the thing with him, his situation, I mean, the whole transition from, you know, Coach Johnson leaving, you know, it all happened like spur of the moment. So for him to come in and do the job that he did under those circumstances, those were, you know, pretty good. So, you know, Coach Caldwell was back, I think, back my sophomore year in 2010, and – you know, just like I said, from the circumstances that he had going, you know, he did a wonderful job with, you know, just having to be hired, like, I think maybe a week, 2 weeks before ACC media days. So, I mean, it just goes the type of situation he was in with, you know, recruiting as well and trying to get those recruits in at the same time. But, you know, for the most part, he did a wonderful job, you know, put together pretty much the same stuff we had. And, you know, we just, you know, just went from there.
Now, you thrived under James Franklin. What did he do, or what was it about his system that really put you out there?
Really, just Coach Franklin, he just came in, you know, we didn't know what to expect. You know, he brought his staff in and everything. We didn't know what to expect. But just one thing that Coach Franklin did, man, he just instilled confidence in us, you know. We had, you know, my first 2 years at Bama were called the Dark Ages. You know, those were the two back-to-back, two NCAA seasons. So, but, you know, we had the same players, you know, my first 2 years here. So that just goes to show you the type of capability that Coach Franklin has as a coach, coming in, giving us confidence, coming in, developing the process, and we pretty much followed. You know, I think that was the main contribution to our success, you know, my last 2 years at Vane, just the way he developed the process and the way we followed it, you know, the way we were consistent about it, and, you know, everything else took care of itself.
Now, how exciting was it to start 3-0 that year?
Oh, it was great. It was great. I mean, it was definitely a reflection off the coaches of how well they prepared us. You know, one thing that Coach Franklin and his staff did, you know, week in and week out, you know, my last 2 years at Vandy, were they did a great job of just putting us in, you know, in great positions. You know, they prepared us really well week in and week out, putting us in the right position to be successful on Saturday. So, you know, he made practices hard, so that can be easy on Saturdays, per se. But, you know, for the most part, like I said, just the confidence he instilled in us and, you know, just that, like I said, that process he developed and, you know, we just followed it and we just took one game at a time, one step at a time.
I was looking at the schedule last night. That team could have been 10-2. I mean, you were in position to win every game except for Georgia and Alabama.
Oh, absolutely. Our goal coming to each and every game that we had, you know, under Franklin was to win the game, you know. So I feel like the coaches came up with a great game plan week in, week out, like I mentioned before. So, you know, Franklin always emphasized executing and always emphasized, you know, having fun as well. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's a game. And he wants us to have fun. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. So at the same time, when it's a time to work, it's a time to work. So and that's what was great about Coach Franklin. He was the ultimate player's coach. And, you know, he just took a lot of pride in his craft, and he sacrificed a lot. You know, obviously all coaches do. So from that standpoint, you know, he's one of my favorite coaches.
Yeah. How disappointing was the loss of UT in Knoxville that year?
Oh, man, it was very disappointing. Just going back looking at it, I think the Georgia game that year was, you know, we could have – I think we blocked the punt at the end and could have scooped and scored. And – the Tennessee week, you know, we could have easily won that game due to the, you know, turnovers or whatever. But, you know, at the same time, you know, things happen for a reason. So we definitely learned from those losses. And we were still able to, you know, make it to a bowl game. But, you know, my junior year, we went 6-7. That's technically a losing season. So, but at the same time, just what we accomplished that season, I think that season in 2011 was pretty much the stepping stone, you know, the building block to what that program is today.
Yeah, you mentioned the bowl game. Was there some kind of conflict of Larry Smith and Jordan Rodgers? It seemed like Jordan wasn't happy or something went down. No one really knows what happened. Watching on TV, what happened there? Do you know?
I can't remember. I mean, the game was like 2-3 years ago. It was just one of those situations where I'm not sure if Jordan had got hurt or whatever the case was. But, you know, we had two great quarterbacks in Larry and Jordan. You know, obviously Larry was the more experienced guy. Larry got hurt during the middle of the season. Jordan came in and did a great job, you know, despite the circumstance. I think Larry got hurt during the Alabama game, you know, and Jordan came in, and, you know, despite the circumstance of coming into a top-ranked opponent like Alabama and doing the things that he did, of trying to put us in a position to win, you know, he did a fairly good job. So, and obviously Larry had that experience, like I said, but, you know, we had two great quarterbacks. So, you know, just from that standpoint, you know, I don't know what happened, but, you know, Larry almost brought us back into the game, you know, just him coming out and making plays. And I'm sure he was juiced up. You know, that was his last game as a Vandy player. So, I don't know what the circumstances was, but, you know.
Were you surprised to hear Jordan sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I actually saw Jordan, you know, when we played Tampa Bay this past season when I was with the Rams. So, you know, good to see him. Good to see him back into the, you know, football swing of things. So, I mean, he's a great player. I mean, he's probably one of the, you know, obviously that quarterback, running back relationship is always going to be good, you know. But Jordan, he was just such a smart football player, a film guru. You know, obviously he put us in the right position to be successful week in and week out. Just tough, you know, I mean, just for a guy that, you know, had all the expectations, you know, from being, you know, Aaron Rodgers' little brothers. You know, he just wanted to be Jordan Rodgers. He didn't want to have that stigma about him. So he came in and worked. I mean, he was, you know, one of those guys that were, you know, first one in the film room, first one in the weight room, last one to leave. So they just type of player he was.
Yeah, your senior year, what was it like starting out 1-3? After the first few years, what was going on in your head?
You know, really, you know, it was very disappointing, you know, just from a senior standpoint of, you know, having that adversity or whatever. And I think, you know, one of the things that Coach Franklin, you know, told us that I'll never forget is that I think, you know, for us, I think we became a little too entitled. You know, we, you know, had a decent season the previous year before. You know, we had a lot of people patting us on our backs. You know, I think we also, I mean, we got new uniforms that year, new field renovations. I think, you know, I think, like I said, we were just too entitled. You know, we were expecting wins to just come to us. So, and I think after that Missouri, I think Georgia game, really, after the Georgia game, you know, we had a bye week, and we took a long, good look at ourselves in the mirror, and that's when we went on, and after that week, that's when we went on that 9-game winning streak. So, but we came along strong at the end of the season, obviously with the winning streak. So it was disappointing at first, but we had a players' meeting and we just had to sit down and just talk amongst ourselves to say, hey, you know, let's, you know, cut the crap. Let's get back to this thing. You know, we worked too hard, you know, to get to where we are now. So let's just go out and do it. And that was just pretty much the message and the emphasis that we had the rest of the season.
Now you scored 2 touchdowns against Missouri. Was that the turning point of the season, you think, in that game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that game was, you know, Missouri, that was probably one of the funnest games that we ever played in because, you know, despite, you know, Missouri wasn't really, you know, had a winning season at the point when we played them, but they were playing, they had a lot at stake to play for, trying to get their first SEC win. And, you know, we were trying to get our, you know, first road win, you know, on the season. So, you know, that's probably one of my favorite games that I can relive. You know, it was cold, it was a little wet, so, you know, it was definitely a lot of, you know, adversity going on there. But we came out strong. You know, it was ultimate team win. And, you know, it sort of just kind of had the snowball effect from there. You know, we just, you know, stayed consistent throughout our play. You know, we just kept executing, kept emphasizing executing, you know, week in and week out, and kind of just had a snowball effect for the rest of the season. And each week after that game, we just got better and better and better. And that just goes back to the process that, you know, Coach Franklin developed for us.
Now, what do you recall about that Ole Miss game in Oxford? That was like watching a video game.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that game was pretty much the game to solidify our, you know, spot in terms of bowl selection. I think Jordan threw a late touchdown pass to Chris Boyd. So, you know, it just goes to show the type of team we was. You know, it was, you know, it's very emotional. I remember, you know, it was very emotional for Coach Franklin because it kind of is a beside the type of, like I said, like the type of team we were, as, you know, the adversity that we were going through, the adversity that we went through all season, and for us to overcome that, you know, because I think Ole Miss was on the roll at the time. You know, they had a great season going on there that year, and you know, it was always tough to play in Oxford whenever they were winning. So for us, you know, it was definitely just a confidence booster for us going into the following week.
And how sweet was it to blow out Tennessee after they had a close loss the year before?
Oh, it felt great, man. You know, it's a long time coming. You know, it was one of those days where I don't think all the way up to my senior year I never beat Tennessee. So it was very, very special for the seniors. You know, it was very special for the fans, obviously. So, you know, hopefully that can continue the momentum going on into next year for next season. So, but, you know, anytime you beat Tennessee is always good. So, you know, from that standpoint, it was just kind of a, you know, cherry on top for my senior season.
Did Coach Franklin use Dooley's rant about always beating Vanderbilt the year before as motivation?
I'm not sure because, you know, Coach Franklin, he was a guy that, you know, he never really talked about the past. I mean, it was what it was. So, but he never, you know, emphasized or anything about it because, you know, we were focusing on each and every week we focused on just that opponent. You know, we didn't look ahead to any games. We were focusing on being 1-0 each and every week. And that was just part of the process he developed, part of the message that he, you know, emphasized for us. So, you know, whoever our opponent was, you know, our goal was to, you know, try to go out and get the W and, you know, just worry about that opponent. That's, you know, nothing or anybody else.
And how sweet was it to go out with a bowl win?
Oh, it was good. You know, it was good. Like I said, you know, aside from that and, you know, beating Tennessee, it was pretty much the cherry on top, you know, so. Like I said, my senior season was a very historic season for us, you know, broke a lot of team awards from that standpoint as far as, you know, going to, you know, back-to-back bowl game appearances, you know, this and that and all the other accolades. But just seeing just for the seniors, man, you know, I just know most of the guys that came in with me and some of the guys that were before for me, you know, from my standpoint, you know, I had three different head coaches in 4 years. So that's definitely, you know, tough, you know, from a transition standpoint from, you know, trying to get to know your coach and everything. But, you know, just that win against in the bowl game my senior year was just a reflection of, you know, what these seniors went through and the adversity we had to overcome. So for those guys, for us to go out like that with a W, you know, to end our career, man, that was pretty special.
And what was your impression of the NFL combine?
Oh, it was great, man. You know, it's one of those deals where, you know, you really don't know what to expect or whatnot. But it was a great experience, you know. I cherished every moment I had up there in Indianapolis. You know, it's a long, very long process, those long three days. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, regardless, you know, what the situation is, whenever you get invited to the combine, you know, I mean, it's pretty special. Because, I mean, I think they only invite like 300 guys, you know, out of the whole country to come. So, you know, for you to be selected, you know, to that is a pretty sweet deal. So, and at the same time, I was having fun, but, you know, at the same time, I, you know, took advantage of the opportunity. So, and it was a great opportunity, and I had fun doing it. So,
what was draft day like for you? I know I've heard from guys it's a roller coaster, and you don't, you know, you get phone calls, you think you're going here, you think you're going there. What was it like for you?
For me, you know, the draft, you know, it was one of those deals where I didn't really stress about it, you know. I just pretty much just tossed the cone up in the air and just said whatever because, you know, one thing you can't control is, you know, especially throughout this process when it comes to, you know, pre-draft training and things like that, is you can't control, you know, the draft rankings. You can't control the, you know, obviously where you're going to or what coaches like you or what coaches don't like you or what teams don't like you. So, you know, from my standpoint, you know, I just took it. During the day of draft day, of the third day of the draft, I actually went fishing. You know, I went fishing that day, so just to get my mind off of it, not to even think about it. So, for the most part, you know, I was patient. You know, just had the mindset of, you know, whatever happens, happens. Whatever team wants me, I'm obviously go in and try to, you know, do what I can to, you know, first make the team, and once I make the team, just try to do what I can to, you know, help contribute and do as much as I can to help that organization and that.
You were on the lake when you got the phone call?
What's that?
You were on the lake when you got the phone call?
No, I actually got in maybe 30 minutes after I left the lake. As soon as I sat down in the house, I got a call from a Missouri number and kind of got a little confused at first. But, you know, it's Coach Fisher. You know, Coach Fisher gave me the call, and, you know, told me they were actually moving up two spots to get me. So I hung up with him, saw it on TV, and it was just, you know, my whole neighborhood just came running up to my house. So it was a pretty neat experience.
Now, coming into your rookie season, if I'd have told you you were going to be the starter at week five, would you believe me?
Probably not, you know, probably not. But, no, it's just one of those situations. It was definitely frustrating because, you know, I'm a competitor. You know, I want to do what I can, like I said, to help the team win, help this organization be successful. So not playing, it was kind of a you know, one of those deals, you know, where you think about it and it's kind of, you're kind of down for a little bit. But I really wasn't. You know, I really wasn't, because at the end of the day, there's still 100 guys all across the country, 100, you know, plus guys, 100,000 guys, or whoever the case may be, that would, you know, love to, you know, be in my shoes, love to be in my shoes. So, you know, like I said, pretty much played the waiting game, just kept working, you know, just kept, you know, patiently waiting for that opportunity. And, you know, I was able to get it, and I just took advantage of it. So that's what this league is all about. You know, it's all about opportunities that you must take advantage of.
How disappointed were you to not get 1,000 yards? I know you're in St. Louis, but here in Nashville, that was something that we were talking about on the radio. I mean, that week of the final game, that was kind of a big deal in Nashville, you getting 1,000 yards.
Oh, man. It wasn't really one of those deals I was harping on, you know. I mean, I didn't even know I was that close, to tell you the truth. You know, I think some of my linemen, you know, with the St. Louis, guys like Jay Long, the guys like, you know, Roger Stafford, all those guys, they were telling me about it. You know, they were more excited about it than I was, you know. So, but, you know, it wasn't really a big deal for me, you know, regardless. You know, my whole deal was to just go out and get the W, whatever the case may be, whether that's me getting 5 touches or 35 touches, whatever the case may be. You know, I'm a team player. You know, I don't really get caught up in the stats for real or the accolades. I just let that, you know, let that take care of itself. So, I mean, no doubt about it, it would have definitely been sweet to get it, but I'm even, you know, excited about that. Excited about just the contribution that I had throughout the season. That's one I'm more excited about.
Now, you'll get it next year.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. So, I mean, we got a lot of guys coming back. Obviously, you know, we got our feet wet a little bit in terms of, you know, the offense. We know the expectations to the fullest now. So, you know, ready to get this thing rolling.
Now, you had your first touchdown against Carolina. What did you do with the ball?
I mean, usually guys, you know, for us at the Rams, you know, guys, you know, pretty much keep it in. We get it all decorated, you know, the equipment guys decorated for us and things like that. So it's actually back home at my mom's house right now. So that was my Christmas present for my mom. So it's actually in her little shrine that she has for me, in her little woman cave room, per se.
Woman cave room?
Yeah.
And you got your first rushing touchdown against the Titans. In fact, you had two. Was Tennessee a team you kind of had circled on the calendar because of your history in Nashville?
Well, not really, because, you know, I at first, I'm not going to lie to you, I figured I would probably end up with the Titans, you know, just being the hometown kid and, you know, just playing right down the streets for them. But it was definitely exciting, you know, playing with them, because I got to know the coaching staff a little bit well, because I actually, you know, took a visit up there, you know, pre-draft, you know, visit the, you know, the facilities and the organization, met, you know, the personnel and everybody. So it was good to see those guys. You know, they were happy for me. You know, all of them gave me a hug, the whole coaching staff, so. But it wasn't really one of those deals where I wanted to, you know, try to beat those guys despite them overlooking me or what the case may be, you know. Yeah, that wasn't the case at all. So, I mean, the Titans have a great organization, obviously, or whatnot. So, but at the same time, you know, playing against them was great. But, you know, we came up short in the loss. So, it was kind of disappointing from that standpoint. But it was just great being able to compete, you know, against the Nashville home team.
Now, your biggest game this year, I mean, it went over the Saints at home. How much fun was that game, beating Drew Brees and those guys?
Oh, it was definitely fun, man. I mean, anytime you win, man, it's fun. I mean, there's no doubt about it, because this is a long season, and every win, every yard, all those things count. So, you know, for us to have that, you know, have that win against the Saints like that, it just shows the type of capability that we have as a football team. You know, just show the capability that we can really do that week in and week out. So, and, you know, that's one thing that you got to have, you know, like I said, with this being a long NFL season, 20-week season, including preseason, you know, it's all about consistency. You got to be consistent week in and week out. So to be the quality opponent like the Saints, I mean, that says a lot about yourself. But, you know, from that standpoint, that's just our mentality we have in going into each and every game, which is to win the game, go out, execute, go out, dominate in all phases of the game, offense, first team, defense, you know, and everything else take care of itself. And, you know, that game was just one of those complete games that we had.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are Jekyll and Hyde all season. Do you think if Bradford had stayed healthy, you guys would make the playoffs?
I mean, it's hard to say that because, I mean, we didn't have them, you know, so we don't know what the outcome would have been with or without them or whatnot. So, but, you know, Sam is, you know, he's the, you know, obviously he's the guy. He's the face of the franchise. He's the quarterback. So, you know, he's, you know, obviously puts us in the right position to be successful. But, you know, one thing about it, Kellen did a great job, our backup. I mean, he did a phenomenal job coming in, you know, filling those shoes. And, you know, really, Kellen is the guy that's been with Coach Shotty longer than Bradford has, you know, because, you know, Kellen was with the Jets before he came to St. Louis. And, you know, Kellen had a little more grasp of the offense and have a little more, you know, of the expectations of their offense. So for him to come in, you know, due to the circumstances that he had, you know, he did a fairly good job, you know. So, I mean, he definitely helped me out a lot, you know, in terms of, you know, just getting acclimated with the playbook, knowing what he wants to do, knowing his expectations. So it was fun. So we expect Sam. I think Sam is recovering pretty well right now. So eager to get him back. So just get this. Hopefully he'll be good by OTAs, no later than training camp. So ready to get back to work.
Yeah, and how tough is the NFC West? You guys got, you know, one of the toughest schedules in the league.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we play in the toughest division in the NFL. I mean, you have, you know, San Fran. You got, you know, defending world champions with Seattle and Arizona, who was a top, you know, five defense in the NFL this past season. So, you know, playing against those guys, you know, twice every year, you know, is definitely, you know, a deal where it's hard to play in that league because when you got so many great defense, you got so many great players and so many good teams in that division. But, you know, our expectations are high this year, like they are every year. So, you know, we just want to come in and put everything together, you know, get back to it and get to work, you know. So, I mean, I think we have obviously we got the draft coming up and the combine and, you know, Coach Frisbee, he's going to get those players that can, you know, obviously help contribute and help be a big contribution for this team. So that's really just our mindset as a team right now, just getting better each and every day, you know, enjoying the off season at the same time, but, you know, just knowing what the goal is.
All right. What are your thoughts on Coach Derek Mason, the new coach at Vanderbilt?
Oh, man, I mean, I heard he's a good guy. You know, I really haven't had a chance to meet him yet just due to, you know, running all over the place, you know, training and whatnot. But, you know, I plan on meeting him soon. You know, obviously he has a vision just from, you know, what the guys, former guys have told me. Well, the guys that are still there have told me, you know, he has a vision and, you know, he's, I mean, I think he's the right fit. You know, he sounds like the right guy in Nashville. So, you know, only time will tell. Obviously, you know, the season hasn't started under his era yet, but, you know, I think he's the right fit. You know, there's one guy that could, you know, replace Franklin. You know, in my opinion, I think he would be the guy. So eager to see how he does, and you know, just want to wish him the best, and you know, wish him the best for the season as well.
Now, how explosive would the Rams' offense be? With Zach Stacy in the backfield, Tavon Austin lined up on the wide receiver, and Jordan Matthews on the other side.
Oh, man, that'd be great. You know, it'd be great to have J-Mac, you know, come here. But, you know, J-Mac, obviously, he's working right now. I mean, I think he's preparing for the combine in the next couple of days. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to do great. You know, J-Mac, he's, you know, one of those guys that, you know, I watch mature, you know, as a player. You know, just, you know, with him, with me being older than him, just that's one of the things that stands out about J-Mac, just the way he matured as a football player, you know. And, you know, obviously he deserves, you know, everything that he has up to this point. I mean, because he works extremely hard. I mean, the guy, you know, was pretty much a film guru as well. I mean, he's always in the film room, always studying. You know, his practice habits, just his practice habits was what makes him great. So, I mean, you see him catch a 5-yard route and take it 80. I mean, we see that in practice every day because every ball that he caught, he would sprint 100 yards. And come back and run the next play again. That's just the type of player he is. So, you know, hopefully he can be there to come by, you know, have a pretty solid pro day, and, you know, hopefully he can get his draft as high as possible because he deserves it.
How do you think Chris Boyd would do in the NFL? He had some highlight catches, but, you know, he really didn't have a chance to shine this year.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think Chris got a combine invite too, so that's even better. So I think that puts like, maybe five or six guys from Vandy into the combine this year, which is excellent. So, you know, for Boyd to go there and, you know, get invited to come out, it says a lot about him, you know, as a player, despite him not even playing, you know, this past season. So, you know, he's been working, obviously. I'm sure everybody, all those guys have been working. So, just easy to see how those guys do. So, I'm really happy for all of them. I try to keep in touch with them, you know, any chance that I get, just to, you know, let those guys know I'm, you know, thinking about them, you know, let those guys know, and try to, you know, see them, see the expectation that I saw, you know, in my experience and what to expect and whatnot. So,
yeah. Well, man, that's all I got for you. Is there a way for the fans to keep up with you on Twitter?
Oh, absolutely. I do have a Twitter handle. Twitter handle is at ZStacy _. You know, that's ZStacy _. So, you know, you can follow me there, or, you know, that's really just the main social network that I have. I'm not, you know, caught up in the Facebook or, you know, Instagram as much, but you know, reach me at Twitter and, you know, just shoot me a follow.
All right, cool. All right, buddy. It's good talking to you. Maybe catch up with you next year when you guys are in the playoffs and hitting the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
And that's it for this week, guys. Be sure to check back next week for more NSM Podcast.